Hey everybody, I'm Levi. So today I'm going to tell you a little bit about my God story, and this is obviously just a tiny piece. I want to say first that I'm the opening act here for Tony, so my job is to like warm you guys up and get it ready. And when Carrie gives the signal, then Tony's going to come in and do the replacement. But anyway, so I want to talk today about something that I think is very helpful for me, and certainly in my walk with God. And I want to tell you about it today for two reasons. One, I think it can be helpful for you. And two, it can be helpful for you in the same sort of way that it is helpful for me. And then I think secondly, it may help you sort of see some moments in your life that potentially God is operating. And so I want to start off today and say, for those of you that don't know, I'm a scientist. I'm actually a Christian evolutionary biologist, which seems a little bit strange. I'll actually tell you, I'm not even the only Christian evolutionary biologist sitting in this room right now. But I won't out the other one, but she knows who she is. A lot of my job is really sort of predicated on me being very skeptical and really sort of picking apart arguments and really kind of coming in with a healthy dose of doubt. And so on a personal level, when it comes to my walk with God, my relationship with God, I will just tell you one of the biggest things that I struggle with is doubt. And this is something that is a very regular occurrence for me. And so after years and years of this happening, I sort of developed a little system when I'm in sort of those deepest moments of doubt that I help myself deal with it. And so I want to tell you a little bit about my system, and hopefully when you feel the same way, you can come up with something similar. I don't think your system will be the same as mine, but it is what it is. So I've got a couple scripture verses here that I sort of turn back to, and so I'll read you the first one here, and this is pretty, I think, obvious being an evolutionary biologist that I would go to here, but it is Genesis 1:1, and this is the NIV translation, and that is, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And when I'm really struggling in those moments of doubt, amazingly, this scripture really helps me a lot. And the reason for that is, I think, when you go to those moments of sort of beginning of the universe, sort of very first existence in the universe, it is actually comforting to me to think that there are only two options for what was going on at the beginning of the universe. And that was essentially that something always was or something came to be. That's like as binary as it could possibly get, and that knows what is what they are. And unfortunately, or perhaps fortunately, there is no rational choice to be made between those two, because as our brains can comprehend, the fact that something always was or the fact that something came into being, neither one of those make any rational sense whatsoever. And so at that moment, when I am struggling with doubt, believe it or not, that actually helps me. So it helps me to think that I don't actually have a rational choice to make in that moment. And instead, what I need to do is base my choice and whether or not I'm going to buy into this God thing on other things. And so I'm going to tell you two of those things in my life. And what I call these are my follow me moments. And these are moments where I feel like God has really sort of brought about a major turning point in my life. And maybe perhaps in that very moment, I didn't recognize it, but looking back, I can see that. And so basically for me, when I get to that point of doubt and I say, all right, there's no rational choice, so I need to come down one way or other on this, I look to these follow me moments and I say, you know what, like, I'm going to have faith and I'm going to choose to believe that God is watching out for me and that there's a God that loves me, and that what happened in these moments and what came from these moments are evidence in my life of God's work. Now, some people might look at those the same way and say, okay, whatever, like, I completely disagree. And that's fine. I don't mind if people disagree with me on that. Like I said, it's a total step in faith. But my goal for all of you is basically when you have those moments of doubt, think about what your follow me moments are and things that you can really latch on to. And so the second scripture that I want to read today is Luke 5:27 and 28. And I'll read it, and you guys will get why it applies pretty quickly. So Jesus was going around. He was healing people. He healed a paralyzed man at this point. That's why it starts the way it does. And it says, after this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. Follow me, Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Okay, so it is incredibly fitting, right, that this tax collector happens to be named Levi. But for all of you, I want you to know that that's like an insert your name here type situation, right? Like, amazingly, Jesus wasn't only talking to me in that very moment. So this can apply, certainly, to all of you. You guys can come on in. Come on in. Go for it. Anyway, so essentially this idea of a moment where Jesus reaches out to a person and just says, hey, follow me, and that person just drops it all and runs toward Jesus. Now, again, in these moments, I can't claim to have been spiritual enough to say, like, oh, I was totally just running towards Jesus here. I think in most cases, I was totally scared and looking for something to hang on to, and Jesus met me there and really pulled me through. And when I say moments as well, I want to be clear that these are actually like more like months, periods of time. But so the first moment for me was in high school, and I was 16 years old, and I was playing football, and football was really kind of my life, probably to a pretty unhealthy degree. And all I cared about was succeeding on the football field. And thankfully, you know, I had probably the most wonderful parents to ever exist on the earth. I'm sorry to all of you parents out there, but they set the standard. They were amazing, and certainly they taught me everything I needed to be a good and balanced and healthy person. But I was overly obsessed with football, and I think I was defining myself by the success that I was having on the football field. And this was my sophomore year, and it was right before the start of the season. And my goal was to beat this senior out for this position on the team. And I worked all summer. And he definitely knew that we were in a competition. He had no idea the level that I was taking it in my head. Like, every day that I was practicing, I was stepping out there like Danny Osborne, like, I'm coming for your job. It is going to happen. I was working out 2-3 times a day. Like, he was the target. I was coming after him. And so it's the third day of practice, and I grew up in Indiana. And Indiana, you're not allowed to put the pads on until the third day. And so the third day, like, it was on, and I was coming after him. And so we had our first hitting drill. And I remember I hit him so hard that my shoulder pads broke in half. They actually just fell apart. And so after this, the coach takes me into the equipment room, and he's like, Levi, you know, I saw your shoulder pads broke. You need a new set of shoulder pads. I want to be clear that this set of shoulder pads I'm giving you, we only give to the starters on the varsity team. And so he's like, these are your shoulder pads. And so he's basically like, all right, good job. You know, you beat Danny Osborne. That's awesome. And so I was like, you know, like, I have arrived in life. This is my moment. This is amazing. 20 minutes later, we're back out on the field. And I'm blocking. We're sort of running the ball kind of right here. I had my arm pushed out right here, and I was blocking a guy, and the running back's face mask hit right here on the arm. And so I don't know if you guys can see my gnarly scars. I like to Moses and Tristan and Avery, I like to terrorize them by showing them my gnarly scars. So my arm basically just kind of exploded in that moment, and you know it's bad when the trainer runs over and the trainer's like, don't look at it. Don't look at it. Just look at something else. Like, close your eyes. This is not going to be good. And so it was actually ulna, radius, everything, just multiple pieces, all totally shattered. And obviously the problem here was that I was defining myself by my success in this area. And this had now been like the ultimate failure. And in my mind, I had done everything right to succeed and was just completely blindsided by what life gave me. And so as I laid in the hospital, ironically, these special shoulder pads that I had, they actually had to cut them off of me with a knife. So I'm laying, like, in the hospital. They are ripping them off of me, and it's like the ultimate just, like, knife to the soul, right? Like, so bad. So at this moment, I'm like, wow, like, I don't even know who I am. Like, I I don't know what I stand for. I don't know what I am. And in that moment, I just thought, I have no control over my life, and this is terrifying. And so, you know, this is the beginning of the follow me moment, in the sense that I, from that moment on, just said, I have to find something, and I have to find something that defines me for more than what I was. And so I really started searching and digging, and Jesus really met me in that moment. And over the next several months, I was able to start going to a church and to really, really connect with Jesus and see that this was a God that, you know, I think initially I thought, well, why would God let this happen to me? And what I found is sort of the ultimate definition of who I am as a person in God, and that is someone that God loves, regardless of anything else that I do, that God loves me. And that gave me the ultimate peace. And so that, I will say, like, that from that moment on, when I was 16 until now, that peace has just been throughout my life. And I, you know, from that moment on, I was very much a changed person in terms of the peace. There are two interesting sort of side effects of that moment. So when I think back about that, certainly my follow me moment, I find it interesting that I feel like there were sort of, you know, I don't know if you call these miracles. I would say low probability events that happened in my favor. And I like to see that God's hand in that. What's interesting is that my arm was so broken that they couldn't actually cast it. They had to screw it back together with plates and screws. As a result of that, I actually started physical therapy 2 weeks after I broke it. And I actually ended up only missing 6 games that season. So, and my mom is really cool lady to let me go back out and play. So, like, major points to my mom on that one. So that was one thing really cool. And if anything, I was water boy for those 6 weeks, and there is nothing that humbles you like being the water boy. And so I will say I appreciated the game so much more when I was able to get back into it. And I think it made me a much better player, much better leader going forward. And so that was one benefit. The second benefit is pretty interesting in that about 2 months after all of this happened, I had a friend from another high school. She approached me and she said, hey, you know, I have a friend and I think you guys would work really well together. You know, would you like to go on a blind date with this friend of mine? And I said, yeah, you know, I'm up for whatever. That's cool. And she said, oh, by the way, are you a Christian? Because I think she'd probably only go on a date with another Christian. And I said, well, as a matter of fact, like, I think as of, like, you know, a couple months ago, yeah, I think I would call myself that. And so she's like, okay, awesome. And so flash forward, like, you know, a week or two, and her friend's name was Emily. And you guys do happen to know Emily. And so I feel like out of that follow me moment, I ended up with, you know, a healed arm very quickly, and then ultimately a wife. So that is pretty cool. So that's follow me moment number one, and I'm going to let Tony get up here pretty soon. I'll tell you follow me moment number two. So the flash forward about 5 years, and I was in college, and Emily and I were actually recently engaged at this point, and she was studying to be a teacher, and I was ready to be a doctor. I was going to be a pediatrician, and so the two of us had this big life plan of she was going to be the teacher, I was going to be the doctor, we were going to stay in our hometown, you know, I would set up at the local pediatric practice. She was going to teach in the schools. All was good. Everything was set. And at the moment, I'd been working in the pediatric clinic quite a bit in my town. And now looking back, I realize there were a lot of things in working with the doctors there that I realized, actually, I didn't enjoy any minute of doing any of that. But in my mind at the time, I thought, like, oh, you know, like, this is what I really want to do. Like, this is how I want to devote my life to helping people. This is absolutely the thing. And I remember, and again, like, I had no concept that I didn't even like what I was doing. I just thought it was, you know, what you do. And I remember I went to, if you want to go to med school, you have to take this exam called the MCAT. And it's one of those crazy things where people actually spend months preparing to even take the exam. And I went to the class where I was going to prepare to take the exam. And I remember sitting in that room, and, you know, I've been in school all of my life. I went to college for way more years than you ever want to know. And And I remember sitting in that room, and I was like, I am not supposed to be here. Like, this is not for me. And I remember sitting down. I remember looking, like, to my left, or to my right, to my left, seeing all these people, and they were just, like, feverishly working on this exam. And I thought, this is really dumb. I don't want to do any of this. This is ridiculous. And I remember thinking, like, well, I've never felt this way in a class before. Like, I'm always the one that's like, oh, what can I learn? You know, what can I see? And, like, man, I just thought, I got to get out of here. Like, I can't be in here. And so I walked up to the front. And interestingly, my dad's friend was basically the guy who was running the program. And he and I were good friends. I should tell you as well, like, I was very good friends with the pediatricians that I was working with. And so this is very, like, clear line, like, how Emily and I could end up at our end goal pretty easily. And I remember walking up to him, and I handed him my exam. And he was like, Levi, are you done? And I was like, oh, I'm done. And he was like, oh. Okay, well, like, I'll see you next week. And I was like, no, like, I'm done. And he's like, you're not going to do this anymore? And I was like, nope. And he's like, well, what are you going to do with your life? And I was like, I have no idea, and it's terrifying, but not this. And so I just walked out, and that was it. And I sent him an email and thanked him for, you know, for his time and everything, but that was it. And it was in that moment then I drove to Emily's place, and I was like, so, you know, that whole thing that we had planned, like, I can't do that, like, that's not going to happen. And Emily was super cool. She was just like, all right, well, let's pray about it. Let's figure out what we're going to do now. And, you know, in that moment, the two of us were really just sort of searched together in terms of, you know, what we wanted to do and where was God going to take us, and how could we serve God. And in that moment, I had this idea that I had this idea that basically you could not be a Christian evolutionary biologist. Like, that, basically, I could not learn about evolution, that it was not in line with my religion. And through months of praying, I just realized, man, you know, this evolution thing is really pressing on me. I don't know what I think about it, but I just need to do some experiments. Like, let's go hands-on, and I need to find out for myself if this evolution thing is legit. And so I got into a lab, I started doing some experiments, and the experiments that I actually do in my lab now and the things that I did then, we actually watch evolution happen in real time. So we evolve bacteria, we evolve microbes, and we test hypotheses about these things. And so I remember when I got the data back from my first experiment, you know, it showed evolution happening. And I remember laying in my bed that night thinking, so I guess I'm not a Christian anymore because I saw evolution happen. And I remember thinking, that's weird. I still love Jesus. I still believe that God exists. Like, I don't think I really have a problem with this. And so I came out of that being like, oh, okay. Like, I really dig this evolution thing. I like doing these experiments. And I think God is pushing me in that direction. And so here I am today. You know, Emily and I did not stay in Indiana. She is not a teacher. We're both at Emory University. We both work in science. And really, I've seen all along, I think evolutionary biology has sort of become my mission field, where I have these students that come to me and they struggle with exactly the same thing that I was struggling with. And when I teach evolutionary biology to my students, I tell them, this is an evolution class. We're going to talk about science. But I want you to know that my door is always open, and that I'm a person of faith. And if you are struggling with what this means for your faith, I want you to come talk to me. And I won't try to persuade you in any way, but I'll tell you how I reconcile things, and you can come talk to me. And I will say that on average, I have about 70 students a semester, and usually about a quarter of the students will make appointments and come talk to me. And it's been great. And I think more than anything, it's sort of a load off of their minds when they see people like me and other Christian evolutionary biologists up there. So all that to say, when I look back on my life and I have those moments of doubt, I really see two points of these sort of follow me moments. And in my sort of most crippling doubt, it is very reassuring to see God's work in my life. And that really strengthens my faith and makes me happy in my choice to believe the irrational idea that God exists and God loves me. So, all your sermon.
Public. public speaking too. Good morning, everyone. How we doing? Praise the Lord. No fair, first of all, Levi's name is in the Bible, so you got me on that one. If we're telling our story about God, I'll start quickly with just a background. I'm born in Miami, Florida. Came from a really wonderful family and great parents, or at least great mother, and great grandmother. Just really, we were very, very closely knit. We weren't very churchy. We did basically every couple of months we go to church, and we would, sort of just play the role, the role. Or I don't even know if it was a role. It's just, we go to church and sing some songs, listen to the preacher, pick on people's hats, stuff like that. And that was it. So although I thought I had an understanding of what God was, it was basically sort of a religious pageantry sort of, it's just like, do what everyone else is doing. But no real, So as I was growing, in my late teens, growing up in Florida in the 80s was very difficult, especially if you grew up, around any type of, money, because everyone was sort of into the drug scene there. And from every walk of life, everyone was into it. There was really no age limit. I mean, kids were drinking at 13 years old, 12 years old, smoking, doing all kinds of stuff. And that's basically how it was in the 80s, and I would imagine in the 70s, but I didn't know back then. And although I would often think in those moments, I would think about God, and I know that's really weird because I never really thought of God in all of the, and we were just having fun. We saw nothing wrong with it. We weren't harming anybody. We were just young and wasting our youth. And so there was a certain God moment where, although I knew God and I would often think about what God was, I had no idea who Jesus was. I just knew from going to church that Jesus was the Son of God. And that's all I knew about Jesus. I knew nothing. I never heard anything about salvation. Ever. Nothing. And one night we were at my friend's house. He had a beautiful house. It was a beautiful house. His parents left him. They got a divorce. And I'm not saying any names, but anyway, he got a divorce, left this guy at 19 years old, a beautiful house. And it was beautifully disgusting. I mean, I don't know how you could make a house so filthy in just a year. It was just awful. But there we were. Because it was a place to hang out, it was a place to party, it was in our neighborhood, which was a pretty good neighborhood. But there it was. It was a place to party. It was a place to have fun, what we thought was fun. And one night, things got a little out of hand. And I had a moment where I thought I was literally going. I was going to die. There's nothing. No one can talk me out of that. And I was terrified. I started having my heart just pounding, right? And now I am amongst my friends, so I decided to lie down. Maybe this thing would help me lying down and just quitting everything. So I'm lying down, everyone's around me, and I'm sitting there dying. Literally, I'm dying. My heart is I just can't stop it. And I just said, okay, I just got to get to the bathroom. So let me get to the bathroom. Just die in the bathroom. That would be cool. And so I go to the bathroom, and the I forget how Glenn's house was, but the bathroom was filled with pots and pans that he just thrown in there when he cooked something. After, you know, he just threw them all in there. So there's this bathtub full of dirty pots and pans and plates and forks, maggots all in. I mean, this is, so I'm like, oh, God. So I'm like, where do I go? I don't want to die in here. And again, so I sat on the toilet and I'm wrenching over and I'm just like, I said, this is it. You know, I never thought, I tell you, I didn't think this is how it was going to end for me. And I looked in the mirror and I was just so, you know, I thought I looked pretty good actually, but I didn't. My face was completely drawn. Everything was just disgusting. I looked at myself and said, wow, how have you not seen yourself in a mirror? But I don't know how I thought about that while I'm dying. But at that moment, I asked God, who I did not know, only through a superficial type of, you know, God is, you know, that kind of stuff. Because, again, I thought God was just this guy, you know, who everyone talked about, who just wanted your money at the end of the service. That's what I thought God was. And I just prayed for the first time, really prayed to something I didn't know, but I knew existed. And I asked, I said, God, I don't know, I've never asked you for anything, ever. And I'm just asking you, I just don't want to die in Glenn's house. I don't want to die here. This is not where I want my mother to find me. I said, if you just give me enough strength to just get to the end of the corner, I would rather die on the end of the corner. If you just give me enough strength that I can just walk there and get out of this bathroom. And I can't even explain to you. I have goosebumps right now just telling you. At that point, God made himself so real. I mean, really. And I just said, I don't want to do this anymore, Lord. I just don't want to die. I don't want my mother to find me here. That's all. Just help me get to the end of the block. And at that moment, bam, God made himself so real. That verse about God doesn't answer the prayers of sinners, he was not talking about Tony Brown. God had healed me immediately. I mean, everything. Like, I was, and I just sat there kind of like, what just happened? And that whole, I couldn't even focus on the bathtub full of the maggots and the dirty pots and pans, because I was almost too afraid to believe that happened. I was too afraid to walk out of the bathroom, and I sat in that bathroom for about 10 minutes because I was too afraid to believe that this actually just happened to me, lest I be disappointed and pull on the handle, and then I have another, you know, some kind of attack, and my heart starts to kill me again. So I just sat there breathing like, you know, I don't believe what just happened. So I look in the mirror and I'm like, I'm hitting my chest. I'm just, you know, and I'm, and after about 10 minutes, I open the door and I hear everyone drinking, everyone's partying, they're doing their thing. And I sat on the couch, just kind of looked around. And they were like, Brown, you want a beer? I'm like, no. I said, I'm going home. What? I said, I'm going to go home. And that was that defining moment in my life when God made himself so real. Now, that didn't mean that I was perfect after that. I was still young and stupid. But that is that moment where I knew not who God was. Nothing about him, but where God chose to make himself, because out of sincere prayer, God made himself in the most powerful way that I think God could ever prove himself to anyone. He saved my life immediately. And never, ever had I ever had a desire to use that drug ever again. it was complete. Everybody was all into it. And never did I have, he removed the desire. He removed everything. He saved my life. He helped me understand that he is all powerful. Because there's nothing that can explain what happened in that bathroom that night. Nothing. And for those who say you're full of it, Tony, that's okay. I don't really care. Because nobody can talk me out of an experience. Okay? And I've had, you know, and after that time, you know, I, you know, we were still going to concerts. I was still playing my guitar and all that kind of nonsense. We were still children. We were still kids. And we happened, got into a little trouble where we had some run-ins with the law. It happens in Jewish neighborhoods too, guys. So we had this, we were doing this credit card fraud because we thought it was fun, you know, to find people's credit cards and rent limos on a Wednesday. We thought that was, you know, we thought that was a lot of fun and to go shopping too. I understand how you women feel about the shopping now. So anyway, and so I got in trouble for that. And there is now, this was another God moment. And this wasn't long after God had proven who he was, but I was not following him. So, we're hanging out. They have some kind of, it's a revival, you know. Still don't know who God is, really, or Jesus. Still don't know anything about Jesus. In fact, I didn't even know what a scripture was. I had no idea. If someone were to ask me in that 20 years of my life, give me one Bible verse, I couldn't, nothing. I didn't know any books in the Bible. I knew nothing about anything about religion except that, you know, God wants your money at the end of the service. So there's a revival. So, you know, they got the strong man and the guy with the fire thing. And they got all this sort of, you know, theatrics there to, you know, to bring people to Christ. And so we're sitting on the bleachers. I'm sitting with this guy. I don't remember his name. I think maybe. But he was just someone I met there. And we were talking about music, and some guy walks up to us. And, you know, and he came over all, and I was like, oh, God. So he's like, hey, brothers, hey. And he came, he sat down and talked to us, and Danny immediately went the other way. So there I am, stuck on the bleachers with this guy, you know, and he's talking about Jesus and all that sort of stuff. So he asked me, you know, he said, have you ever met God? I said, oh, yeah, in a bathroom. And he sort of looked at me weird. I said, no, really, I met God in a bathroom. Like, you know, and I gave him my little story. And I think he still didn't believe me, but that's okay. But he asked me, would I give my life to Christ? He read me John 3:16. First scripture I ever heard, that Jesus gave his life for me. I didn't know about that. I didn't even know why Jesus was on the cross. And just knowing none of these things I knew. In all the years that I've been going to church, I never knew what Jesus was about. Nothing. And boy, I gave my life to Christ. And that was the most, that was one of those things you just cannot talk someone out. That experience where the Holy Spirit made himself just like it was so thick, like you could just cut it. It was just like, I know this sounds really stupid. I know you. But like when I looked into the sky, I saw like little sparkles. And this was like for a week. I'm not kidding. Like I would look up if it was a sunny day, I could see like little, and I was just on this cloud. Like really, like the weight of sin literally lifted where you feel light. I didn't feel burdened. I was in a hellhole where I was. This was not a cool place to be. But there was this peace. You know, despite my surroundings, despite the environment, it had no effect on me because I had a joy that was, you know, I wasn't happy there. But I had joy. And That was the, other than the bathroom, that was the most defining moment where God said, follow me. And despite where you are, what your circumstances are, God has always, he's always proven that he's had me in his hand, that he never has failed me yet. Even though I may fail myself, God has never failed me. And he's blessed me so much. And I really don't have any much more to say than that. And thank you for hearing my story, and God bless you.